This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The Driftless region is no stranger to the weather impacts of climate change. The area has seen more frequent severe storms and flash flooding in recent years, impacting homes, businesses, public infrastructure, and more. Now, Monroe County leaders say they want to take a proactive approach to the issue by creating a new climate change task force. The group will focus on ways to rethink land use in the county and mitigate the impacts of flooding on residents. Joining us to talk about the effort are Tina Osterberg, Monroe County Administrator, Jim Schrader, member of the County Board of Supervisors, Ron Leafy, member of the Ridgeville Township Board, and Bob McKeel, Director of Monroe County's Land Conservation Department. Jim, I wonder if you could start by talking a little bit about why the county board wanted to create this task force.
Well, over the years, we did things that we thought we could control, certain things like flooding and that. But when you get a situation that's happened over the last years where we get 4 to 12 inches of rain in a very short time, those structures and the land, the way we use the land, doesn't hold up to absorbing the water or holding back water enough. And when they do rupture, now you have a catastrophe that's beyond fixing, practically. And it destroys a lot of property. It destroys a lot of fields for planting. Some haven't been able to plant in their fields for 2 years. You get so much debris, so much silt, fill, and cricks and rocks that have been moved. And we know that, I know Bob has said it, we can't try to control Mother Nature. We have to work with her and do other things to bring about the safety of people and the less erosion of our land.
Yeah, we've seen other counties and other municipalities working on this issue. But Monroe County is definitely one of the a rural county compared to some more urban areas. Bob, I wonder maybe how that impacts the way Monroe County is going to approach this issue.
Yes, for as a rural, looking at the total landscape versus one city or one small community. So we're looking at the big picture. But the other thing is, with the southern part of the county is where we see most of the damage occurring. And it just seems because we're in a driftless area, which hasn't been touched by the last glacier and very steep. It's a very unique country, but yet it has its limitations as far as what you do on a landscape. And then couple that with climate change, that's really taking a beating along the Vernon Monroe County line versus the northern part of the county, which is more of a sand aquifer. That has getting a lot of moisture too, but the issues change from groundwater to basements being flooded and contamination of groundwater. So we're looking at the big picture versus more isolated. The other unique thing with Monroe County is we have 5 watersheds and they start in Monroe County. So it's always the big picture, because what we're doing in Monroe County is definitely going to affect Vernon, La Crosse, Juneau, and so forth. So big picture, looking at these aspects.
How do we know that these more frequent floods, all these issues that you and Jim have described so far, how do we know this is climate change?
I guess from personal experience, I always go back to 2007. I've been around the conservation world for a long time through my dad and my own career, and it's something we haven't seen before. But if you go back to 2007, this area, the Driftless area, not necessarily Monroe County, but there's kind of a line between southeastern Minnesota and southwestern Wisconsin that keeps getting hammered with these large events. So from 2007 to 18, obviously, August 2018 was the major event that got everybody's attention, with 3 dams breaching in Monroe County, 2 in Vernon. We actually had a total of 7 or 8 dams that overtopped. And these structures are built for 100-year storm events and could not handle these events. So looking at that as a cumulative total, we've had 18 and 19 events in that time period that have created major damage. When I say damage, I'm saying damage to the infrastructure of towns, personal property, the municipalities. It's on and on. So there's major things happening, and it's getting worse. We had the event in August. Coming into this year, I thought, well, we're due to have a break. In July, we had 3 other events that did major damage. This is not right. The pendulum hasn't swung back where we have drought and less precipitation. It's continually hammering our area. And we have to respond. We can't just sit back and take it and do the same thing over and over and expecting the same outcome. That's why we developed the Climate Change Task Force, and we're going ahead with our objectives.
Tina, how have these events cost Monroe County? I mean, I imagine even with funding from Federal Emergency Management Agency or state agencies, you know, they have to come at a cost for the county.
They definitely do come at a cost. You know, and it's not just the county. Each of the municipalities, like Bob said, you know, the municipalities in the southern part of the county are really starting to feel it. They're replacing the same bridges, replacing the same roads year after year. The communities, we've had Leon has been flooded multiple times. Coon Valley's getting flooded, even though it's not in Monroe County. A lot of the water is starting in Monroe County and going down towards Coon Valley and causing a lot of destruction down there as well. So as far as the county goes, our highway department is feeling all the extra work that they have to do on top of their normal day-to-day work. We're not getting 100% reimbursement for all of those expenses that we do have from these events. Our zoning office is feeling the pinch. I've been working with a lot of the homeowners, trying to help them out, find ways for them to mitigate their future cost and maybe even help with our cost if some of their homes can be moved out of those flooding areas. It's one less home or resident that we have to worry about when those floods do come, of getting them out of there. Emergency services are a big part of those floods, and they take a beating as well with additional costs for resources. And Bob's time, his staff's time, working with residents. I went out on a tour this summer with him, and we toured a place that had just finished a stream crossing, and I believe like the next week, everything that they had done had gone downstream. And so all of that hard work, their time in planning, the people's time in putting it in place, and that infrastructure basically floated down the stream when those rains came.
Bob, I wonder if there's a sense of hopelessness when that situation happens, when you put in the work to repair something and then another flooding event comes and tears it all away.
So that was kind of the, as Tina had mentioned, that crossing Shorehanger, a conservation practice that we do in the stream corridor. And then the next week, the farmer calls me right after a major event and says, "You need to get down here, it's gone." Well, I knew what he was referring to. So I got down there and got out of the truck, and he was still in the barn. He said, "Go down there and look at it. Tell me what we're going to do." And so I walked down there, and again, that, as you pointed out, hopeless. I've been around conservation a long time. I usually have a response of what we can do. And I walked back and I told him, I said, "I do not know what we'd put back. I have no idea, but I do know we just got to stay out of the way. That means we're not going to put a crossing back in there. We're going to have to look at other means to address this issue." And so that kind of, shortly after that, that same day I contacted Tina. I said, "We need to meet." And that was kind of how the Climate Change Task Force evolved.
That's Land Conservation Director Bob McKeel here with us today to talk about how climate change has been impacting Monroe County residents and how a new task force will help local leaders address the issue. He's joined by County Administrator Tina Osterberg, Jim Schrader from the Monroe County Board, and Ron Levy from the Ridgeville Township Board. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Ron, I wonder if you could share a little bit about how these severe storms, flash flooding, these severe weather driven by climate change has been impacting your municipality.
Yes, Ridgeville Township is in southern Monroe County, where a lot of the impacts have really been felt. And really, we're looking at the township level, kind of three major areas. And the first is the transportation infrastructure. The second is the building and building site infrastructure. And then the third is our agriculture infrastructure. And just let me give you an example of each one of those. As far as the transportation, Again, it's been mentioned about putting a structure in and then it's gone. So we have to look at building resiliency into our system. You know, whether that means a larger culvert, for example, or in the case of a bridge, maybe a longer span with wing walls to prevent it from washing out, is one example of the transportation. Now, when it comes to building and building sites, the county and the county zoning takes care of a lot of the permitting, but we at the local level, I think, have a duty to look at where these potential housing sites are going and look at, say, driveway placement or culverts if needed and so forth, to look at whether that site is really suitable for that area. You don't want to build in or near a drain, for example. And you want to look at the road as far as ditching and culvert placement to prevent erosion. The third thing is in agriculture, and Bob has kind of mentioned this before. We need to start looking at these structures and either building more resiliency into those structures, like, say, grade stabilization areas or sites and so forth. Is the data going into this planning, is it really reflecting what's happening out on the landscape with our precipitation? So maybe we need to look at building a bigger structure or, in some cases, just as Bob has mentioned, you know, get out of the way. Another thing in agriculture that's I'm really seeing is the loss of the dairies, especially the smaller dairies. And what's happening is as soon as the dairy goes out, they go to a cropping system of just grain farming, which is corn and soybeans. And you're losing, in a lot of cases, you're losing that legume or that deep-rooted crop that helps hold water back. And a lot of it is inserted as strips between the corn and soybeans. Well, once that's lost, they're basically planting, you know, fence row to fence row. And even with no-till, you're going to get runoff. And without a deep-rooted crop like alfalfa, what's happening is the nutrients, and it comes to kind of water quality thing issue as well, those nutrients aren't being captured with the shallower-rooted crops. And without that rotation, those nitrates are going to migrate down. And once they're out of the root zone, then they're gone. And basically, they'll get into the water table. So you can see how integrated this is even with our climate shifts. Everything is integrated. It comes down to, again, building resiliency. It affects water quality. It affects quality of life. So there's a lot of issues that we're trying to at least make people aware of.
What are you hearing from residents of your community about this issue? I mean, is there a desire to take action or a recognition even that this is driven by climate change?
Well, I think that's one of the things that we as a task force have to do in the community is education. And I think people, when you hear the words climate change, with some, that's kind of a hot-button issue. You know, it's been politicized and weaponized by all sides. And so what the task force really is trying to do, though, is to, okay, this climate is shifting. Okay, what do we do about it? Because it affects, you know, the local people. And I think the people in our community are recognizing that there is something going on. And what they're looking for is, okay, what do we do about it? I think that's the big question that we can address here. And again, a lot of it's education. And I think the folks in our community are knowing that there is a change going on.
Jim, I'm glad Bron brought up this issue of, you know, climate change has been a controversial political issue in our country. And I just wonder, you know, given that, how the county board was able to unanimously vote on this to form this task force. I mean, I guess What is different at the local level that's allowing people to maybe come have a unanimous voice on this?
Well, I think most people have suffered enough damage and they understand, even in their basements. Like, I live up on a ridge and my basement was 2 feet of water in it. They realize this is not normal. We have to start doing something that will bring about a change that will, you know, affect everybody. And I really don't know, because a lot of these changes are dealing with government money and stuff like that. I don't know how you appropriate enough money. It's being very hard to do. Once a catastrophic event takes place, people, they stand there bewildered. They don't know where to turn, who to go to for help. And in my area, basically there has been nothing because I'm on a ridge, or my township is. The only thing is the valley, like he said, the road infrastructures were torn out. One person stood there, township, they put in the culverts, and they watched the 4-inch rain come the next day after the 12-inch rain. It took that, what they filled in, plus the culvert and everything, and took it out. So they do see that there is a need for us to do something. And who do you look to? You look to your county government first. The county government looks to the state. The state, we go to the federal. So those are the steps we have to take to maintain our infrastructure. That's the only way we can maintain it. But tax dollars are hard to come by in this day and age. It's just, you wait forever, and when you do get something, it's not very much. So.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. We're talking about Monroe County's efforts to mitigate the impacts of climate change by creating a new task force. We're here with Monroe County Board Member Jim Schrader, Ron Leafy from the Ridgeville Township Board, Monroe County Administrator Tina Osterberg, and Land Conservation Director Bob McKeel. Fort McCoy is located within Monroe County. And, you know, I wonder, Tina, are you expecting to see support from officials there or from the federal government in that way on this effort?
That's not necessarily an area, I guess, that I had in mind, you know, when we created this task force. We definitely do have a couple individuals from Fort McCoy on the task force, providing information, making sure that they're aware of what we're looking at, and providing us information that we can use on the task force going forward.
Tina, in kind of researching when the county board took this step, I saw a quote from you that said that you're hoping to look at how climate change is impacting everything from agriculture to public health to tourism to the economy. You know, it seems like the county really feels that there's a far-reaching impact more than just to the land itself.
Yes, definitely. You know, one of the big things this year is clean drinking water. When we have these events, it really does affect our water supply and the quality of our water supply. So working with our public health department and making sure that everybody's checking their wells and looking out to make sure that what they're drinking at home is safe. Agriculture is big. Especially in rural Monroe County, you know, every time we have one of these severe weather events, it's washing out crops, it's washing out the soil, like Ron was talking about. We're losing that topsoil with the nutrients, but then some of that's ending up in our drinking water. So it just keeps building. Every time we have an event, our economy hurts from that. People aren't able to get through, the roads are washed out, our infrastructure is not there for businesses to do their normal day-to-day business. So it's far-reaching, and it's not just about fixing the flooding, but there's more to it than just damage that gets done.
Yeah, Bob, I wonder if that makes it more complicated to form a response to this issue.
You know, there's not one thing that you can plug in and it's a fix. It's all-encompassing. So our first idea is to, you know, we need to get a pulse on what's going on, and we need to warn the public. And we can do that with some weather stations in some of these sensitive watersheds, the Kickapoo watershed, the La Crosse watershed. These are two areas that are constantly getting hammered and losing roads. And we're just fortunate so far that nobody has lost life over these events. So that's kind of our first step. But again, as we move through this, that's the daunting task because it affects so many people from business to tourism to agriculture, to coming up with answers, solutions. And it's not going to happen overnight, but we kind of made a list of kind of our top 10 list of things we can address. And it's in an order of how soon we can actually attack that and get something established on the ground. And the weather stations is our first step, and we feel confident that we can get something in place this spring. And then the more challenging task when dealing with the public and empowering the public to change their ways, look at their footprint, look at business, look at curve numbers, et cetera. You know, that's a huge challenge. So.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up this kind of list of 10 goals or objectives for the task force. And I wonder if you can just talk a little bit more about this idea of weather monitoring and warning systems in real time. You know, do you feel like the current setup is enough to warn people to potentially get out of the way of these events?
So with this climate change, what we're seeing is I don't know if you want to call it from micro storm events. You'll have one sub watershed, for instance, in the Kickapoo watershed that gets 5 inches of rain. And this is a very small area. And that has no bearing, let's say, up farther in the watershed of a Wilton or a Norwalk. But downstream of where that event happened, nobody knows about it. And you have the Kickapoo Valley Reserve in Vernon County that is totally recreation, camping, canoeing, kayaking from Ontario south. And you get one of these events, nobody knows about it until after the fact. And so we can do a better job as far as the public goes, as letting people know. And how can we do that? We'll get the simplest task is get weather stations out in these sub-watersheds, tie that to real time with emergency management and government, signage, anything we can do. We're taking the steps over the winter to put stuff in place. And it's fairly reasonable. Obviously, the gauging stations that USGS can plug in is a lot more money. We do have one in the Kickapoo. We'll look at those down the road, but let's get some things in place now to warn the public. We have to warn the public, keep them safe and out of the way while we work on the task within the watershed.
Ron, I wonder if there is, you know, you mentioned you're in an area, Ridgeville is in an area that is kind of been hammered by these events over and over again. Is there starting to be some fatigue of residents of maybe not wanting to take these warnings as seriously because, you know, they're just, it's a constant warning?
Well, I think it's, has been mentioned before, it seems overwhelming. But I think with many challenges that we've had in our country, it always starts locally. And I think that's where we need to focus our attention at the township level. And I don't think it's as much fatigue as it is, what do we do about it? It's like Jim had mentioned, you know, they're kind of lost. You know, what do we need to do? And I think we as a task force and as a township official or a county official to provide that leadership and that, alternatives to what's going on out there and give them some information. I think that's where it needs to start locally and then build out to the county level, to the state level, and hopefully the national level at some point.
Another item on the list for this task force is removing structures or roads that chronically get wiped out. Jim, I wonder if there's a concern about pushback from residents of removing roads or structures that maybe have been there for years, but now are just, you know, kind of in danger.
Well, legally, I don't think you can remove a road. You have to make some improvement on that road so this don't reoccur, because by law, you cannot just take a road out and replace it. So I don't hear no pushback from any of the public, but I know by law that roads can't be changed on their by Monroe County or the Highway Department or your township just to change it. That they cannot do. So I don't know where we'll go in other than to improve on that road the structures that did fail. So.
Yeah, Tina, I wonder if you guys have had discussions about potential pushback from residents, even changing things like zoning or making decisions about rebuilding in areas that are chronically getting wiped out. I mean, is there a potential that people would be disappointed or upset that things aren't being replaced?
Absolutely. I think that, residents go somewhere and they find this beautiful place that they want to build a home and they find somebody that's willing to sell them the land. But maybe it's not the right move when it comes to floodplain. You know, do we really want them building that close to a creek or a river just in case it would flood in the future? And so I think there is going to be pushback from future homeowners that want to create that country living outside of town and that beautiful view or being able to fish out their back door. And we're not maybe saying, you know what, zoning-wise, this is not a good idea. And we don't feel it's really safe for that individual to be building there. They might lose all of their infrastructure from one flood. So I think definitely you're going to have some pushback from individuals that want to build new places. I think right now we've already started working with individuals that are currently living in some of these areas that continue to get floodwaters going through their homes and being able to help them out because they've had enough and they're ready to move on. So there are some individuals out there that have realized that this unfortunately may be the new norm, and they are looking to get out of that way of the floodwater. But there's always going to be somebody new coming wanting to build in that same similar area, and they're probably not going to be happy if we're telling them they can't.
Monroe County Administrator Tina Osterberg is here with us today to talk about Monroe County's new climate change task force and how the group hopes to mitigate the impacts of climate change on residents. Also joining us are Jim Schrader from the Monroe County Board, Ron Leafy from the Ridgeville Township Board, and Land Conservation Director Bob McKeel. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation and hear how the group hopes to influence the state's approach to climate change. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, WPR.org/newsmakers. Our site has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at WPR.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about Monroe County's Climate Change Task Force. The Monroe County Board created the group in late September to explore ways to rethink land use and mitigate the impacts of more frequent severe storms and flash floods caused by climate change. Join us to talk about the work and how it could be impacted by a new statewide task force on climate change are Tina Osterberg, Monroe County Administrator, Jim Schrader, member of the County Board of Supervisors, Ron Leafy, member of the Ridgeville Township Board, and Bob McKeel, Director of Monroe County's Land Conservation Department. As I mentioned, Governor Evers recently created a statewide task force. And Tina, I wonder how you feel like this could maybe impact the county's task force.
I think for me, with my background in finance, I look at it as an opportunity maybe for additional funding to help us be able to follow through with some of our plans. Maybe being able to get funding to go towards additional weather stations in our base water basins to be able to warn the individuals out there. It seems like a lot of these events are a lot of it's happening at night in the dark, and so people don't see it coming. So if we can get warning systems out to them, messages out to them timely, that would be great. So overall, with my background, I'm hoping that we can work together with the state and find ways to financially support these initiatives and what needs to be done to help mitigate future damage.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought up funding, because I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what the costs are maybe associated with this task force. You know, are there costs associated with planning?
At this time, we don't really have much of a budget. We're just kind of getting together with local individuals with different backgrounds, coming together and trying to put ideas together. Really, our first financial step will be trying to create or get some weather stations. So financially, really hasn't been costing the county a lot other than our time coming together and trying to talk about what we want to do, what can we do to, you know, look at these different goals and objectives that we've put together. I don't think a lot of it's going to be financial on the planning end, but some of the ideas that we come up with out of the Climate Change Task Force may need some additional funding, and that's where we are hoping that maybe with help from the state or the federal government, they can help us to plan for the future and hopefully mitigate some of the future costs of damage.
I wonder if there have been conversations about other potential sources for funding. Specifically, your group did, the task force did mention looking at identifying sources of climate change or carbon emissions. And so I wonder if there are potentially other organizations, businesses, taxpayers even, who might be willing to contribute to this work.
Actually, at our last meeting with the talk about the weather stations, it did seem like there were quite a few individuals in the room that were interested, even if maybe, you know, a weather station wasn't going to be purchased by the task force or the county, that they might be willing to do it individually as well. So I think the more we talk about it, the more people are open to the idea. The more information they have that these things even exist. There were a lot of things from the National Weather Service meeting that we had that they went over a lot of things that I had never even realized were out there and tools that we can use. So I think just getting the word out makes people aware, and if they're aware, they're willing to help out and do something about that as well financially.
Yeah, Ron, I kind of saw you nodding along, and I wonder if you've also seen people maybe willing to invest in some of these, you know, needed steps.
I think so, and I think one thing that we are very fortunate to have in Monroe County is an individual that can help us with grant writing and that sort of thing. So that's been really a good addition to the county staff, is to have a land use planner, and I think that's going to go a long ways. And I just wanted to add on to one of Tina's comments about getting ready, getting people up to speed on development. If you look at where Monroe County is located geographically, we have two major interstates, 90, 94, coming through the county. We also have the CapEx 2020 electrical infrastructure coming through the county. We're in between two major urban areas, you know, south of us, Madison, Milwaukee, Chicago, Gary, Indiana, and north and west, we have the Twin Cities and all those surrounding areas. People are going to be coming. Okay, we have to be prepared for that. Right now, when you look at our rural area, you know, it's kind of emptied out, but our land is cheap, relatively, and with our infrastructure that we have right now, people will be coming, and we need to prepare for that, especially with climate change. So, when we look at development, like Tina said, everybody wants their little piece of heaven, their 40 acres. You know, maybe we can't do that anymore. Maybe we need to have cluster development where we have housing, and we have the a common well that can be protected, and also a septic system rather than just individual septic systems, have a treatment facility right on that site to protect our water quality and also build resiliency in the climate change. So we have to look down the road, because people will be coming to our area, so we need to prepare for it.
That's a really interesting issue, and it kind of brings us to another point of promoting sustainable land use decisions and improving existing enforcement of some of these zoning issues. You know, Bob, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what you see as sustainable land use decisions, what those look like.
Sustainable land use decisions, obviously you got to look at what doesn't work, and that's what's going on right now. Why we're here is really comes down to land use, and then you blanket climate change over the top, and that shows you where the failures are. The easiest one to look at, almost 50% of our landscape is in agriculture. And as Jim and Ron pointed out, that where agriculture is going, the dairy is falling to the wayside, and we have continuous row crops taking that spot. Well, that's increases the runoff. And that's on a normal precipitation. If you add these major events to that equation, we have some huge issues out there. So that's not sustainable. We need to look at putting in buffer strips, contour strips again, maybe looking at some hard practices on the upland, small dams, diversions, grass, waterways. We need to do a better job of keeping the water on the landscape. So once it turns to runoff, then it's a totally different game. Then we're looking at, we need to get people out of the way. So we can do a lot up on the headwaters and the uplands for water infiltration. And that's one of the tasks of this group, is to define what does that look like. And then also is the Coon Creek watershed, doing that watershed study, looking big picture. What are the practices? What is sustainable farming, agriculture, forestry, living in the rural watershed? What does that look like? And that's hopefully, you know, where we're going to go with that study soon.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the Coon Creek project. I wonder if you can explain a little bit about why the county is applying for this federal grant to do this watershed study, kind of what the needs are there, and maybe give us an update of where you guys are at currently with that project.
So the Coon Creek came back into the limelight last August because of the dams that breached, and there was three structures. Out of the 14 between three counties, Vernon, La Crosse, and Monroe, six overtopped, and three of them in Monroe County, breached. So there was the first flag that this something's going on here. And we've had major rain events up to that point, and we're continuing to have that issue. So what do we do? Do we go back? Does the federal government want to go back and repair those dams? Now that we've discovered that, yeah, they did serve their life of 50 to 55 years, and now the rain events we're experiencing, we can't design our way out of that. So we have to look at other measures to handle these type of precipitation events. And so the idea is to look at total watershed and go back to a watershed study to accomplish that. The ironic part is the Coon Creek watershed is the first watershed in the country in 1934, and that's where all the tools that we use in conservation were born. So that was in the 30s, and that's where the Soil Erosion Service, Soil Conservation Service evolved out of, and that was kind of the golden nugget in the Midwest as far as where we could lean on for expertise. Well, 1955, 1958, Coon Valley and some of them other communities were getting wiped out again, flooding and erosion. So again, another watershed study occurred. And then these big structures were implemented to a tune of 14 structures. I think that at one time they had 100 different sites and narrowed it down to 16. But they did implement 14. What people don't understand is there's 14 structures out there that manage, not control, manage only 25% of the watershed that affects them in Coon Valley. So now here we are today. We're applying for additional funds to do another watershed study. Again, in the first watershed area to focus, we're back at it again for a third time. And we're pretty confident we're going to get the funding, and we're supposed to find out shortly. But again, we're going to look at the big picture, the structures. Obviously, we're a solution for a long time. is it the response or the reaction we need to go back to that when it's going to cost us millions of dollars per structure and we got three of them to replace? Or is there other things we can do up on the landscape to change that course of action when it comes to flooding?
That's Bob McKeel, Director of Monroe County's Land Conservation Department, here with us today to talk about how climate change has been impacting Monroe County residents and how a new task force will help local leaders address the issue. He's joined by Monroe County Administrator Tina Osterberg, Jim Schrader from the Monroe County Board, and Ron Leafy from the Ridgeville Township Board. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Coon Creek is a great example of, you know, a waterway that spans not only Monroe County, but Vernon County. And as was mentioned earlier, you know, these issues that may start in one county definitely are passed along to another. And Jim, I wonder if there has been have been conversations with neighboring counties like Vernon from the county board about how to address these issues.
Bob.
So with that, with the breach of the structure, is the one thing that did come out of it, and our state engineer with NRCS is pushing us, we need to create a watershed board. And a watershed board is by watershed entity. It's not a municipality defined by county lines. So that means Vernon, Monroe, and La Crosse County would come together and look at it as a watershed and make decisions together, sitting at the table together. Because removing one dam in Monroe County isn't just about Monroe County. It affects Vernon County. It affects La Crosse County. So that is one of the offshoots of this disaster in August that, you know, we're looking to undertake is create this board.
Yeah, I wonder if that will also... I wonder, just make sure the costs are maybe more evenly distributed of who's actually, you know, paying into these structures and who's at paying to, you know, kind of bearing the cost of the impacts.
Correct. And that's one of the reasons to go to that idea of managing on a body of watershed where the decision-making process happens by watershed and not county. And so, again, you share in the expense to maintain. You share in the expense to implement praxis. You share in the decision-making process. And most of all, you have the public involved from the ground up, not the other way, top down.
One of the other points that the task force has identified as a key area is providing information and education to the public about these issues. And so, Jim, I wonder what your thoughts are on how this task force can help educate people about climate change and ways to kind of respond to it.
If people don't have the moral ability to see what's going on and to ask for help, I don't know how you can help them. A lot of times you go out and you tell a person or a farmer that what he's doing is wrong, but if his obligation for him to make a living is to use that land that way, they don't really see, and I've heard this said to me, that they don't look at the loss of the land. Bob has got a record showing that we lose 375,000 dump truck loads of earth a year. So that's a lot of topsoil leaving. Now, if they're made to understand what you see running off the land is only a little brown dirt in a stream, that it don't look like much. But when you gather that all up over a large area, you are losing a lot of topsoil that cannot be replaced. It takes, I don't know how many years to build up your soil to maintain that nutrient-rich fertility that crops need to grow in. So a lot of it has to do with, are the people themselves willing to grab a hold and say, look, I see what I'm doing. I know we have one farmer on the task force. He's done that. He's went out on his fields. He sees that there's rippling effects through his field. Okay, I'm going to do something different. I have to change what I'm doing because I am losing soil. But to force somebody to do something is practically impossible. But to educate them to know that this is what they should do, that should be our goal. Other than that, I don't know. I don't know how you would go about making them change their mind.
Tina, I wonder if you can identify who the members of are the task force. You know, we've been talking about this group, but you know, I'm curious kind of where these members are from. Maybe just a few of the highlights.
the task force has several county board supervisors from our Natural Resources Committee, which also crosses over with our Highway Committee, our Public Safety Committee. So we wanted to make sure that we were getting a good a group from the county board that is overseeing the departments that are being affected most by these large severe weather events. Also, we have, like I said before, a couple of individuals from Fort McCoy, John Noble, who is their fishery biologist, Tanya Townsell, their public affairs officer. We also have individuals from the DNR program, several township supervisors like Ron as well. Jack Herricks is on the committee. He's also a member of our Farm Bureau in the area. And then we have several department heads in the more affected department areas. So Allison Elliott from our Sanitation and Zoning Administrator, David Onsted, who is our Highway Commissioner, Darlene Pintero, who is our Emergency Management Coordinator, who does a lot of the coordination during these large flood events and also working with the townships and municipalities afterwards, trying to get funding for the damage. Bill Halfman, our UW Extension Agriculture Agent, and then Roxy Anderson, our County Land Use Planner as well.
You know, agriculture has definitely been mentioned several times in this conversation. Obviously, it's a big part of Monroe County. Ron, I wonder what your thoughts are on ways the county can support farmers to take action. You know, as you mentioned, we're seeing a lot of dairies maybe being forced to change their operation or to, you know, close their operation even. I mean, what support do farmers need to make good decisions?
I think Bob had mentioned it earlier about getting these structures back on the landscape. One thing I've noticed, like I mentioned before about the dairies going out of business, when they start planting for row crops, a lot of these practices go away, like terraces and the contour strips and whatnot. And again, as Bob had mentioned, we need to keep that water on the landscape as far up on the landscape as we can to kind of help prevent these events. And another thing that was mentioned earlier about looking at a watershed approach, and I think a lot of the agriculture community are recognizing that that's what we need to look at. You know, we have these geopolitical boundaries, you know, township boundaries and county boundaries, but water doesn't respect any of those. So, you know, we have to work together, like even our surrounding townships. You know, if we do something on a road, we put a larger culvert in, for example, okay, where is that water going to go? How is it going to affect the downstream? So we need to look beyond our political boundaries, and I think it'll be more effective as far as the climate change goes. But I think the farming community is recognizing that things are changing, and they're going to be more open as time goes on to some of these practices and suggestions. And the few farmers that are left, I think, understand that you know, they need to react to this shifting climate. Yeah.
Bob, if this task force works or accomplishes what it's setting out to do, what do you hope the county looks like in 10 to 20 years?
That's a really good question. So, I think if we did our part, what I envision is first and foremost, we have a warning system out there that people can feel confident that if there's something occurring in Monroe County within a watershed, that they're going to know about it and have ample warning to get out of the way. Second, we're protecting these stream corridors or floodways. We don't have issues with development. We don't have issues with structures. They're basically things that are out of place. That doesn't exist. And then the other big part is in the watershed, in these uplands, we have sustainable farming going on. and that is sustainable forestry. And somebody alluded to development. If we have development, it is planned development. It is put in the right place. It is not put in vulnerable place that it's going to cost thousands of dollars to remedy that situation. That, in a nutshell, I think is just a broad picture of what could be in Monroe County 10 years from now. But we have a lot of work to get there. And, you know, knowing the way the climate change is occurring, I don't see this group or task force disappearing. I think it'll always be there and evolving as climate does too.
Bob McKeel, Director of Monroe County's Land Conservation Department, Ron Leafy, member of the Ridgeville Township Board, Tina Osterbert, Monroe County Administrator, and Jim Schrader, member of the County Board of Supervisors, join us to talk about Monroe County's new task force on climate change and how the group hopes to take a more proactive approach to dealing with severe weather. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Our show is produced by senior news editor and producer John Davis. If you missed part of today's program, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers.